My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
We welcome you into our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz here. Once again, final one as we tie off the Warriors season, which came to an end in 6 in the Western Conference semifinals. Lakers dispatched of the Warriors 4-2. And it's time to take a look at the offseason. And I know Steve Kerr had his end of season media availability a little bit earlier as we record this on Tuesday afternoon. And there's just a lot to get into just off of that. I think, you know, Warriors go out in 6. Overarching theme, let's just start here. It sounds like the Warriors are hell-bent on keeping Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green together at least for another year. Which, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised. Here we are now 3 days removed, that everybody's been so adamant and so on the same page regarding that. I thought it was going to be a lot murkier, considering especially the way the Warriors went out.
Yeah. As it relates to Draymond, you know, he obviously said he wanted to be here, and Kerr today said they're not a championship team without him. You know, at the end of the day, it does sound like, well, he's not going to come back just on the opt. He's not just going to opt in. If he opts in, I don't think he's doing it without an extension or without a re-sign. And so if you give him 2 additional years or 3 total, so he aligns with Curry, I mean, maybe they know already that there's a number that both sides can live with. Maybe it's $75 million. You know, 25, 25, 25, rip up the 20. But I agree. It really sounds like they are prepared to extend Draymond Green. And what's interesting is it's not going to make the money issues go away. And those were some, you know what I mean? Like, the money issues aren't going anywhere. They're just being kicked down the road. And so, you know, that's the other thing, which is kind of interesting. This is their first opportunity to get off Draymond's money if they want. So they're not saving so much money that they're going to let him walk, apparently. But, bottom line for me, JD, is I don't like any of their decisions. Like, I don't want to re-sign. You know, I don't want to lose Draymond Green for nothing, but I don't want to extend him 2 years. I don't.
Well, I mean, here's kind of my thing, and I agree with what Steve Kerr said as far as the Warriors not being a championship team without him. If he's gone, then you're not a championship team. Now, they may not be a championship team anyway. Like, we can have that debate because they have to improve. But I think, and I've thought a lot about this the last 72 hours, and I think this is kind of in line with what you're saying. The Warriors are kind of stuck in the sense that really if they get rid of Draymond Green and move off of that money, they don't have any money, right? Like, it's not like they can replace him with another player immediately. And so, like, you really either have to double down on what you have, or you have to tear the whole thing down to the studs. Like, there's no in-between ground in this. There's no, like, if you take Draymond away, well, then you're not a title-contending team. Well, if you're not a title-contending team, then what are you doing, paying all of the money that you're paying if you don't believe that you're a title-contending team, which Steve Kerr acknowledged and I personally agree with. So on the one hand, it's like, you want to keep the big three together because it gives you any chance, no matter how small, to try and run it back and win a title. And we'll get to the definition of run it back in a minute, because it's not the definition of what run it back was last year, because it can't be with this organization acknowledging that they weren't as good. But if you're going to move off of any of the big three, then you might as well just sell everything off and start over. And so I kind of feel like the Warriors just – They have no choice but to go all in and to keep going all in here for the next couple of years. And maybe it winds up, you know, there's a year where everything goes awry and they end up really bad. And then at that point, they don't have a choice but to tear it down to the studs. But you would rather do it then by force as opposed to doing it now by choice. Because you're not going to do it by choice now, knowing that Steph Curry still has a couple of years of prime left in him.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't really like either of their choices. But then let me just take it this far. So if Draymond Green, you know, if they re-sign him, don't you have to extend Klay also?
Not necessarily.
I know, not necessarily. But I'll tell you right now, that'll be an issue. It will be. You cannot go into next year. That's not even something we even talked about. But I've just been thinking about it. But the other thing is, if you're going to do that with Draymond Green, you got to trade Kuminga. You have to trade him, because that means Kuminga's a four. And you just signed Draymond to three more years. So, like, you may as well trade Kuminga, because he's not going to have a big role if Draymond's here and healthy.
Well, here's the deal on Klay, right? If the only way you're giving Klay Thompson an extension is if Klay Thompson is agreeable to taking less money than he's going to make next year. And so he's getting his 42, 43 for next year, regardless. That's fine. He's earned that contract. There's nothing that can be done about that. But does Klay Thompson view him, like, is he willing to take 30 and 25 the next 2 years after this, or 35 right. and 30 even the next 2 years after this to make it match up? And that's the question, where if he's so stubborn, and to me it's a matter, look at the, to think that Klay. Like, I heard you and Guru kind of going back and forth today on, you know, the notion of, and some fans are thinking, hey, Klay understands that he's not a max player. Really? Because Klay Thompson sure didn't play like if you look at how stubbornly Klay Thompson played this season, to me, why wouldn't he be just as stubborn as to thinking that he still is a max player, or a guy that should be making $35 to $40 million a year beyond next year? You know, whether he, like, to me, he's got Russell Westbrook syndrome. He's got Carmelo Anthony syndrome. He's kind of got a little bit of that refusal to acknowledge the fact that while he's still good, he's not what he used to be. And I think that was a cloak that hung over his entire season, and why he played pissed off every single night, like he wanted to go around giving everybody the freaking bird every time he made a shot, who criticized him for taking a bad shot. And so, you know, what I'm getting at is, like, if Klay isn't accepting of that lesser, you know, money in terms of a couple of years added on the back end, well, then you ride it out with Klay and you tell him, tough, you're playing for 43 and then we'll figure it out. If you think you're a max player, you better go out and have a 2018 season this season. And then we'll consider, you know, at that point, whether we want to give you a max deal or not. And oh, by the way, let's go to Steve Kerr's press conference. How about Steve Kerr calling out Klay Thompson for basically not being ready at the beginning of this last season and hinting that he wasn't in shape and that he, you know, you can get away with things at 27 that you can't get away with later in your career. I thought that was pretty telling and we know Klay didn't play ball in the offseason, but I thought there were a lot of little, you know, tells today from the Steve Kerr press conference about a lot of things that were going on that, and some we knew about, obviously the punch, and other little ones that maybe we didn't know about, like, hey, Klay, you weren't ready, bro, at the beginning of the year. And yeah, you're coming off the 2 years and the finals and you're trying to ease your way back in, but you know, you come back with all these expectations, but maybe didn't put the work in because you'd put so much work in years past.
Yeah. And I mean, if they extend Draymond and then Clay's like, well, let's tack two more on the end. And they say, no, not yet. Let's, like, that in and of itself, to me, will prevent a championship. You know,
Klay will be too mad. You think Klay will be too mad about it?
Yeah, I do. I do. And he'd feel disrespected. I just think he would. And you know what? I think I would too. You know, as it relates to the two guys I came in with, and now those two match up and I don't. And I've just, you know, like,
well, you and I might be disrespected, but you and I would both be smart enough to know that we're not $43 million players anymore. So you can't have it both ways if you're really Klay. I'm sorry, you can't.
I agree. And if you go to Klay, they re-signed Draymond for 3 years and they go to Klay, hey, why don't we tack two more onto the end of yours? And you know, then you guys will all be matched up. And Klay goes, okay, I mean, 2 for 8, you know, an additional 80. Like, the Warriors at that point have to say no.
They would.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they say, how about more like 60? And that's where if he doesn't say yes, now I hate the way you're going into the season.
Yeah, well, it's definitely interesting, and I think we've seen again to bounce off of that point. We just saw this year that an angry, edgy Klay Thompson is not a good Klay Thompson, because you know, and Coach Kerr talked about maybe the things he needs to do to come in more prepared. Next year, you know, big offseason for him to come back at the beginning of training camp is exactly what Steve Kerr said. Klay's got to be more prepared than ever at the beginning of training camp. And so, you know, I've made the point the last 3 days that Klay's no longer a max player. Like, he's going to get his max money next year because he's already earned it, but he's no longer a max player until he proves otherwise. And, you know, it might be best for him to quit trying to prove otherwise, just try to be the best type of player he can be to help this team maximize what they can be for next year. All right, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, Warriors Weekly Podcast. You mentioned Kuminga. And Kuminga, I think, relates to, and you were relating it to, well, if Draymond's coming back, he's a 4. Steve Kerr also said, hey, very subtly, Kuminga's a 4, which I think a lot of people, you know, at least among the fan base, refuse to accept. They think Kuminga is a wing, slasher, go-get-it guy. Put the ball in his hands like Wiggins almost and let him attack, let him go to work, let him cook, let him eat, let him feast. Unleash Kuminga, a lot of people say. Here's my deal on that, and I think it relates to Jordan Poole. I think Kuminga and Poole are in the same boat, because it's fascinating, because it's, how do you get better? All right, well, if Draymond's a 4 and Kuminga's a 4, and Kuminga's not, maybe because Draymond's coming back at the 4, going to get the run that he wants – well, you almost have to, like you said, look to move them, because what other assets do you have if you're tripling down on the big 3 to use to get better? And I think Poole's in that same category. He may very well want to be elsewhere at this point. Clearly, some chemistry issues would have to be fixed if he's going to remain. But if Poole and Kuminga remain and you're already keeping the big 3, Steiny, how do you get better when you admit that this team wasn't good enough? So to me, Poole and Kuminga to both be on the block this summer, and the Warriors are going to have to look hard at trying to use them to retool this roster, because one, they may not have the roles for each individual player that those players want, and two, they're really the only young assets they have as a means to get better. I think they're also, interestingly enough, in the same category in this vein. Trade them at your own peril, because you know you could also make the case that Kuminga, if he worked hard enough and fit his game into a role, could provide a lot of what the Warriors don't have in a way, if he made himself into being a playable player in the Warriors' vision of him. And then we've talked a lot about Poole, who is, I think, a big part of the reason, while not a perfect player, the Warriors were able to survive without Curry playing 26 games and going 14-12. Poole playing 82 is not nothing. Up and down here, mostly down. But if you trade Poole and Kuminga, you better still be good enough to withstand maybe not having Curry for 20-25 games.
Well, that's the other
thing. You next year.
Well, that's the other thing. The thing that, you know, age is a factor. And if, you know, Steph Curry's missed, I think, 18 games, 19 games, and then 25. If he's going to miss 20 games a year, you know, what do you do in those 20 games? You know, I mean, essentially, if he's going to miss 20, 25 games, well, you're not going to have a high seed going into the playoffs, because 14-12 is about as good as you can do without him. And even that was under your winning percentage, you know, with him. So, again, like, they're in such a quandary about so many things. And the other thing is like, okay, let's bring Draymond back and you extend Clay. So now you got both those guys for 3 more years. And then you trade Poole and Kuminga because you get, I don't know, somebody who you think can help. I mean,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Man, you, that is risky. That is really, really risky.
How so?
Because now you might stink for a while. I think, you know, you know, here's the other thing that just kind of blows me away. Is, and maybe I'm just, this is the way I look at it, but, and I know Clay, and I listen, Steph's better at 35 than I think any of us thought he'd be. But there's just no doubt that Clay, and to me, that Clay and Draymond are in decline. I mean, would you? Like Clay is... Is Clay going to be better next year than he was this year?
It's a great question.
I don't think so.
I mean,
and so what? And you know what?
I think he could be if he's more efficient. I think he could be if he's more efficient and more patient and maybe in a little better shape. But again, he's also going to be a year older. So that's like
exactly
like you can look at individual areas of all of these players' games where you can say, hey, they can get better. But you also have to factor in, okay, well, maybe they get better in area A, B, or C, but is that going to be good enough to outweigh the fact that they're all going to be another year older? Like, that's always going to be part of the conversation now.
I mean, I'll just be honest with you, just from having watched the NBA and that, like, if I'm Joe Lacob and I'm saying, look, man, let's extend or redo Draymond, or I'm sorry, re-sign Draymond, and let's give Clay two more years. See if we can come in at enough. They do that, like, that scares the daylights out of me. It really does. If I'm running the Warriors,
but why?
It
why
does
why though? In the sense, because I mean, you kind of get where I'm coming from with, well, what do you have to lose in a sense? Like,
This is what I mean.
You might be terrible in 2025 because of it. You might be the worst team in the league again in 2025 because of it. You might, or 2026. But the only alternative at that point is you become the worst team in the league now, potentially. And
I'm with you. Like, that's what I mean. I don't like either. I don't like this is what I mean. They're in trouble, JD. I mean, they're in trouble.
All good things come to an end. I mean, that's
exactly.
That's just true.
And that's kind of the whole thing is how's it going to come to an end? You know, do you want to, I mean, and the parallels with the Giants, I think, are fair. You know what I mean? I mean, you signed Draymond and Clay through three more years. And that's what I'm worried about. All of a sudden you look and Clay missed 3/4 of last season, and you know Steph only played 50 again. I mean, it could get ugly, is what I'm saying. And then you have them under contract, you know, for another year and a half or so. If this would happen, I'll give them a year. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, what if you bring them all back, and you know what? You lose in the first round of the playoffs next year. Or you don't even make the playoffs because one of those three guys got hurt for a while.
Well,
or maybe the guys you brought in just weren't that good, and you miscalculated their decline over 1 year, where we're like, oh my God, like Draymond's not good anymore. Like, those things are within the realm of possibility in my world. And that's, you know, you got to think of best case, worst case. That's the way I look at it.
Well, it's definitely, I think, part of the part of the equation as far as what you have to evaluate. But it also is a matter of you got to kind of, I mean, there's only a couple of different things you can do. And so I'm still inclined to, I guess what it gets at for me is that this whole thing right now for the Warriors is a year-to-year proposition. Like you may have to do things this summer that impact a couple of summers down the line. And what I mean is you may have to sign Draymond for 3 years to keep him for one. You may have to sign Clay for two more after this year to keep him for, you know, to keep him happy and in line with everybody else. Like we were talking, you may have to do that, but at the same time, this time next year, they may have to trade everybody. Like, you know, this, because they still have the option of, even if they commit, let's say, to the big three for right. three more years, let's just say.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean you really got to commit. Like, if you do it and you say, all right, we're going to commit to the big three, we're going to trade Poole, we're going to trade Kuminga, we're going to try to get better in those ways and bring other players in that can help, you know, solidify a top 8-9 in the rotation, and you're 44-38 next year and you get beat in the first round, well, then you got to blow it up at that point. Like, right. You know, and blow it up at that point would mean, all right, can you trade Clay? Can you trade Draymond? Can you, you know, do you want to try to make another run for a couple of years, depending upon how Curry looks with Curry and somebody else? Like, and I'm not saying you'd even necessarily be able to do that, but that could be the way that you could prevent maybe being the worst team in the league in 2026 or something like that. If you just kind of go year to year with it, because I think you almost have to, like, You almost have, like I get where you could make the case if you're the Warriors. Hey, this team could be pretty good if we do X, Y, and Z next year. I have no idea right. 2 years from now or 3 years from now, even if they were pretty good next year. Like, let's say they go to the conference finals next year and get beat by somebody, and they're a better team all year next year than they were this year. Like, let's just say that's true. Well, if that's true, awesome. But that still doesn't guarantee 2 years from now or 3 years from now. So it still would be, I think, a year to year in that vein.
Yeah, I mean, and then the other thing is, okay, you extend Clay and Draymond, and they've got three more years together with Steph. I mean, and then what if, you know, what I'm thinking is then next year, let's say Steph's declining, but still pretty good. But Clay and Draymond really fall off in the first year of their kind of recent, like at that point, I mean, I'm looking way down the line, but I'm not sure that the Warriors won't have to trade Steph Curry in order to give themselves the best chance to restart. Because if they don't make the playoffs next year and it, you know, it's like this year, and it's not good, and Curry's like, well, we ain't winning in the next 2 years. Well, what? Then what? Then you got to work together.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. But it's unfathomable at this point in a way, right?
So, well, yes, it is. What does this team need? Like, let's break off here from the ifs and the whats and – you know, they're committed to the big three. We haven't really talked about Bob Myers. I guess we can touch on him. It feels to me, I know I said this on your guys' show yesterday. I think he wants to leave and he's just trying to come up with the, I don't know, courage is probably not the right word, but you know how you want to do something, but, and you think it's the right thing sometimes, but you're just afraid to do it. Like you're just afraid to tell the people you got to tell, like, right. Hey, you know what? Like, I love y'all, but this ain't it for me anymore. And you know, cause you feel like you don't want to let people down and, you know, all of these strong bonds and relationships and, you know, I think sometimes we boil it down to thinking it's about money or it's about, hey, I don't get along with this guy, or I wish this guy gave me more power or whatever it is. My take, and I've said this for months, I think Bob is just, I think he's just kind of done. I think he's kind of spent. He's done it all. He's seen it all. It's his childhood team. He's a good-hearted, thoughtful guy. Like, I think he's seen a lot of stuff that maybe over the years is not up to standard with, you know, the kind of person that he wants to be, maybe. And I think he's like, you know, this is a good time to walk away rather than maybe be a little greedy and get another three more years doing something that maybe his heart isn't 100% behind.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect time for him to leave. You leave, take a year off, or maybe you go somewhere else. But the reality is, and it's funny because this is a conversation for another day. But you know, I'm getting more and more fascinated by the Warriors front office because look, Joe Lacob Kirk and Kurt Lacob. So everybody says, well, Kirk isn't. You know, he's not going to be Bob Myers. He's not really going to be a GM. He's going to be an owner. Well, it's like, okay, that's even, you know, look, Kirk Lacob saw his dad build a dynasty. Kirk Lacob, if he's the owner, he's going to be making the decisions. You know what I mean? Because Joe's above Bob and Kirk will be above whoever Bob is or Bob. And so what I'm getting at is I think they got a lot of voices in there, and I think Bob Myers knows this is going to be very, very tricky. And you know what? I've already kind of seen things have gone away that I'm not crazy about with some of the move, maybe, you know, and I just think it's just time. It's just time. Question is, who would they bring in?
Well,
because I don't think Mike Dunleavy's taking.
I mean, it sounds like Dunleavy Jr. is the guy they're going to point to.
Yeah, I
wouldn't. Well, it's
take
funny
job
you said it. Something, and you I think we went back and forth on this maybe a year, a couple years ago. I said, man, I would not want Mike Dunleavy Jr. to be my general manager if for no other reason that basically the fan base hated him as a player, and he was one of the most
exactly.
Hated. And I think you kind of said, oh, well, that wouldn't – and I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No.
I think we kind of sparred on that a little bit. Like you thought, well, no.
No. Like, No. You got me mixed up with somebody. I there's two things going on. One is the next GM is going to be put in a position to fail. The second thing is Mike Dunleavy had one of the most acrimonious relationships with his fan base I've seen. And it's like
– now he's win. The face – like, isn't he kind of the face of 20-62 and disappointment
exactly.
And failed draft picks?
Exactly.
And I mean,
exactly. You know. So I would absolutely. And you know what? Mike Dunleavy's also the kind of guy and person, like it or not, who can look at Joe Lacob and Lacob be like, what? You're not going to take the job? And Mike would be like, I'm not taking the job, Joe. Like, you know what I mean? Not like, oh, I'll take it. You know, it's 3 years at, you know, 21 million or whatever. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that could get a little bit that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No, I would not do that if I were Dunleavy.
Okay. How let's do this real quick. Cause we got a couple minutes, about 4 or 5 minutes. I want to get into how, like, not necessarily how do the Warriors get better in the context of, you know, they we all know, I think you got to trade Poole and Kuminga, or at least look to trade him. I don't think we should rule out Wiggins or even Looney, by the way, being in those conversations at least. The Warriors want to keep, I think, Wiggins and Looney both, but I think you still would have to entertain those.
They're not deal breakers.
Yeah, it just depends on who you're getting and for what. But
right.
So without getting into the big picture of, boy, this is risky, and if they do this, they might be set up really badly. Like, what kinds of players do they need to get better this offseason, with maybe the focus being on, all right, you're looking to dangle Poole and, let's say, Kuminga as, you know, players that other teams may have some interest in that you're trying to make a deal with?
I mean – you know, to me, some things just they got to get bigger and they've got to get better defensively. And I was going to say on the interior, like to emphasize that, but they got to be better on the perimeter too. I actually, they have too many one-way players. You know, they have Curry, and then they have Clay. Well, Clay just isn't the defender he was. I'm sorry. And he's never going to be. And I think that's – let me tell you something. I think that's the most underrated part of the Warriors' demise, if you will. If not demise, but that is the most underrated – I cannot believe that people – you know, Clay, he's back. Clay, this, that. Yeah, okay, yeah, so he's not – like they go – okay, so he's not the defender he was. Like, it kind of doesn't matter. And he was the most, like, he was, you could make a case he was every bit as important as Draymond Green as a defender when they were winning titles. You could. And yeah. So you don't just go from a team that can shut down penetration to a team that can't and not think it's going to affect your overall defense in a significant way. It baffles me that, yeah, as long as he's averaging 22, okay, well, you're not going to win anymore then. And I'm talking championships. No doubt. You're just not.
No doubt. I think they need size. I think they need defense on the perimeter for sure. I think they still need more playable twos and threes. I mean, you know, Dante DiVincenzo was a nice player for the Warriors, but he's more of a 1-2, and I think they need somebody that has a little bit of his skill set that's more of a 2-3 kind of.
Here's the other thing. Here's the rat on the table. You're not getting those guys in free agency.
No doubt.
You almost have to make.
I'm talking via trade. I'm talking.
Yeah, you almost have to make a 2-for-1, like a 1-for-2 deal.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because that's exactly what I mean. Like. Right. Like, if you're trading Jordan Poole, who's going to be a $30 million player, 28 or whatever it is next year, and you're maybe looking at Kuminga, $6 million player, I think, for next year. So you're looking at like $34, $35 million. I'm looking at getting 2 to 3 players. Like, I'm looking to get 2 or 3 players that are basically going to be my next 3 players after Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, Looney. And maybe Peyton and, you know, if Peyton and Moody are in that mix, let's just say 6-7, well, now you got your 8-9-10. And so now so to me, like, if I know a lot of people think, you know, Kuminga, if you're trading him, you're going to get, like, you're not getting a star for either one of them. You're probably not getting a star for the two of them together. And I think that may be uncomfortable, but it's also reality. You still can get better though by moving those two for somebody like that.
Well, but here's the other thing, at least as it relates to Poole. He's starting to make what? 4-for-140. So he's making $28 million. Like, I got news. So, you know, let's just say he's making, what is it, 35 a year it comes out to or something like that, right? 30 a year.
He's 30.75, I think. You're
not going to trade him for another guy who's got 4 years and 100. You're not.
No
doubt. That's the point. They would rather do two guys where, okay, one guy's got 3 more years and one guy's got only 1 more after this year.
Because you start saving money as you go.
Got to get off Poole's money.
No doubt. And that is
somebody's.
I think that's part of the deal, too, is you're basically breaking up the big money into smaller pieces to where it makes it more easy to redistribute. Whether it means you trade, maybe you trade him for 2 $15 million players, and then you find out you can get by with one of those without one of those $15 million players, or he allows you to move somebody else. You know, and so it is a means to try and get your financial house in order. But I will say this as far as Poole and Kuminga both, because I know a lot of people think I'm down on Kuminga. His future could still be pretty bright. It's not to me. The problem with Kuminga is not. What might he be in 2025 or 26? My problem with Kuminga is his refusal to accept a role that makes him effective in 2023 or 2024. And so because of that, you may have to deal him, but that has the potential, Steiny, to be the kind of deal that looks bad later on down the line. It really does. And I think that's where the Warriors find themselves up against it in terms of risk, in terms of, are you going to get enough back to where you're good enough to offset the fact that by the time you're not good enough anymore, maybe you're doing all this to be good for the next 3 years, but then you look up at 26 and you're one of the worst teams in the league, and Kuminga is an all-star. Like you got to be willing to be comfortable with that type of an outcome if you're willing to make these moves. Otherwise, you're just going to have to stand pat and kind of be comfortable being a 7 seed for the next couple of years, which I just don't think the Warriors are comfortable doing anyway while they let these, you know, other players continue to develop. So some final thoughts for you on
that. Yeah, I mean, you know, the other thing is, you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, when the Cavaliers lost that first game against the Warriors, when J.R. Smith, like, the series was over.
Yep.
Like, it was over. They couldn't win it. And my prediction or what I see as the biggest issue is, you know, the Warriors had something unbelievable going on. A dynasty was halfway through, and they had an opportunity in the middle of it. They had an opportunity in the middle of it that virtually no team ever gets.
And they whiffed.
They had 2-7-14. And right now, 2 years later, they have a half a player to show for it. You don't get to do that. And keep being a dynasty. You just don't. And so that's really, to me, at the heart of it.
And the irony is, and look, hindsight is always 20/20, but the irony is, Steiny, they would have been better off. And we didn't know on that night in 2020, and we really didn't know in 2021 either when they took Kuminga and Moody. But the reality is they would have been better off with a Halliburton and a Franz Wagner, like they would have been, and maybe making a little trade back, and
Okongwu,
Okongwu, even if you trade back at that point, and you have him and those Halliburton and Wagner, or Okongwu and Wagner, somebody like they would be playable,
right.
Like they would be in the Warriors rotation, and maybe we'd be talking about the Warriors still playing if those guys were in the rotation.
Right.
But again, they whiffed, and that's something they're going to have to own. Steiny, great stuff, my man. I know periodically we'll try to do these in the off season, but I appreciate you joining me all year long. When big news breaks, we'll try to can one of these over the course of the next couple of months. So for Steiny, I'm JD, our Warriors Weekly podcast, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.